morning, today in Temura, we're going to hopefully cover Daf Yud Beis. Learning this morning is going to be Le'ilui Nishmat Eliyahu Ben Yitzchak. It's today? Today? No, it's... Okay. I'm with you. All right, today's office, Daf Yud Beis. We're back on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We're at the very top, right? If you want to be very technical, there's a heading on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. I'll read it. I'm Rav Yosef, Alom Mekdash, Mamar Raglash Shalzu. Good, and now we turn the page. Look at that. That was easy. We're on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Tanur Rabban. We're starting with a Braisa. Let me just quickly refresh. Yesterday we had a discussion about fetuses. Remember, yesterday's one of the most primary daffin that discuss the status of a fetus. Obviously, we're not talking about humans, we're talking about animals. We're talking about it vis-a-vis being an extension of its mother. And we have a machlokes between Bar Pad and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, and this is how we paskin, that the kedusha can be chal, the status of a fetus can be designated irrespective of its mother. So whatever its mother is, it doesn't matter. The fetus can be given a totally different type of kedusha, or, as we'll discuss a little bit today, the fetus can even be designated to the exclusion of its mother, meaning I can designate the mother as a karban, and knowing that there's a fetus inside it, say, and I'd like to exclude the fetus from kedusha. Meaning Rav Yochanan says that uber lav yerech imo, that the uber is not considered part of its mother. And so subsequently, the fetus is basically it's like a totally separate entity happening. It happens to be that it's living inside of its mother. Now, Bar Pada disagreed with Rav Yochanan. Yesterday's daf, basically Yud Amud Beis, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, was basically a discussion of which of them is correct. We went through Mishnayos, we went through Braisos, ultimately. To be fair, on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, what we did yesterday, the end of yesterday's daf, we restructured the machlokas because really the preponderance of evidence seems to favor the position of Rabbi Yochanan, where the animal really can be treated as independent entity. And even when we got to the end of yesterday's daf, ultimately what the Gemara did is it modified Rabbi Barpada's understanding. Okay, but when all said and done. But we do pass like Rav Yochanan, and that we could treat the that fetus as an independent entity.
In the past, when we were talking about Shechita and so on, we said that if there's an animal that's inside the mother,
right.
It's going to be a dead, live animal. Right?
Correct. So, meaning the Shechita works for the mother and works for the fetus as well.
So it was part
right,
of the
mother. Right, so even though it's an independent entity, but still in the mother. In other words, and the mother will, certain halachic phenomena will affect both mother and...
So why not this one?
Why not this one as well? Okay, it's a good question. But in other words, you see, when you're makdish it, you're basically talking about how to, from a kinyan standpoint, from a transaction standpoint, can I treat them differently? Look, now I'll give you a simple example. Can I sell a fetus even while it's in utero? Now, right, to davar shelo bala olam, but if we can ignore that for just a moment. Meaning I can do transactions with fetuses, right? Even though it's not part of the mother. Meaning it has its own monetary value. And what we're discussing now in the world of Kedusha, of sanctifying, when you sanctify something, you're giving something a new status, a new financial status. It no longer belongs to me, it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. It belongs to the Mizbeach. So vis-a-vis this, the Gemara has no qualms whatsoever. There's two totally separate entities. Okay. By the way, the Rambam, if you want more discussion about this, which we're not going to have right now, the Rambam in a host of other places maintains that a fetus is considered an extension of the mother, meaning ubar yerech imo. So there is a lot of the talk in the Rambam, meaning because the Rambam does pass like Rabbi Yochanan, and meanwhile in other areas of halacha, the Rambam says that a fetus is considered like an extension of its mother. And your example of shechita is a good example as well, where we see that it is an extension. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan, we're now on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we're turning gears just a little bit. And we are now going to be discussing sanctifying a limb. Now, motivation, again, don't ask me why would somebody do this, I don't know, it's strange, where instead of sanctifying the entire animal, he just points to the limb of an animal and he says, I would like to give this limb kedusha. Okay? What happens? So, before we start, I'm just going to tell you, it's the Machlokas Tanayim, exactly what happens. The way we're going to break it down is Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. There are going to be more names involved, but just to keep everything nice and simple. So we're just going to call it Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yossi has a novel idea, which is the idea of spreading. Meaning, if the limb is imbued with Kedusha, with sanctity, so that Kedusha is going to spread now to the rest of the animal. And there doesn't seem to be any kind of limitation, meaning you could sanctify just a foot of an animal, and the Kedusha is just going to spread throughout the rest of the animal, and the animal will, in fact, be sanctified in its entirety. Now, this isn't crazy. Meaning, this is not new to us. We saw this all the way back on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, meaning the whole reason why we're discussing it now is because of the Mishnah back on Yud Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that according to Rav Yossi, if I want to do Temura from an animal to a limb, it works. To which we asked at the time, but wait a second, Temura is only me behema le behema, from an animal to an animal. You didn't go from an animal to an animal, you try to transfer the Kedusha from an animal to a limb. How does that work? And the answer is because Rav Yossi subscribes to this idea of spreading. And when I transfer the Kedusha from the animal to a limb, so the Kedusha takes hold of that limb and spreads throughout the rest of the animal. Okay, that's what we said back on the Mishnah on Daf Yud. Now we're on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Tana Rabbanan. Yachol ha'amar ragla shozu olote kula olotam alamar kol ashir yitei mimenu la'ashem yeh kodesh mimenu la'ashem v'lo kula la'ashem. Okay, so the Braisa starts off by saying only some of it becomes kadosh, not all of it becomes kadosh. This clearly is not the position of Rabbi Yossi. Yachol teitzei l'chula. Now, if the leg is kadosh, or the limb is kadosh, so but the rest of the animal doesn't, so maybe the limb loses its kedusha, tamalama yeh kadosh. So the yihiyah means it is. It's in a state of being. So if I makdish a limb, if I sanctify a limb, the limb becomes kadosh, and that's it. So haketzad. So now you're here, so you have probably one of the oddest phenomena in the world of kachim, where you have an animal where most of the animal is chulin and the leg is kadosh. And now what do you do? It's bizarre. So timakol tzarcheolus v'damei chulin chutz midmei ever sheba divrei Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. So what you have to do is you have to sell it, and it's a strange sale, meaning you have to find somebody who's on the hook to bring a carbonola. Good. And you're going to sell him this animal. Good. But you can't sell the leg, because the leg is not yours. The leg is kadosh. So what you'll do is you'll sell him the balance of the animal. Good. And then what he'll do is he'll take the animal and he'll be makdish the animal. The only thing you can't sell him, and what you're going to deduct from the sale, is going to be whatever the value of that leg is. So the sale will be, you'll sell the animal with exception to the leg, meaning you'll deduct that off the sale price. You'll take the money, enjoy it, and then he'll be makdish the animal. The Gemara later will ask a simple question, which is, this guy who purchased the animal, he didn't satisfy his obligation. Meaning, because what was his neder? What was his pledge? I'm going to bring an animal as a carbon. He only brought 3/4 of an animal as a carbon, because that leg wasn't his sanctification, it was the seller's sanctification. The Gemara later on will ask that question. Stay tuned as we get to that question later on. No, because he didn't know when he sanctified the leg, he didn't give it value kedusha. He gave it kedusha. Kedusha saguf. So, meaning what he did. It was his animal. It was his leg to be makdish. He was makdish. Done. So now he's giving it over to somebody else. But the only thing he could really transfer over is the other parts of the animal that weren't kadosh. Okay. So divrei Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. So I told you already there are other names that you're going to see, but just for now we'll call it Rabbi Yehuda. Why did I make that executive decision? I know there's a reason why. I think later on we're just going to look at it as like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Minayin Lomer, Ragla, Shalzu, Ola, Shakula, Ola, Shenemer, Kol, Esher, Yitei, Mimena, Lashem, Kishu, Omer, Yeh, Kodesh, Larabos, Es, Kula. Okay, and along comes Rabbi Yossi. Now again, there are more tonight. It's Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Along comes Rabbi Yossi and says, no, that when I makdish the leg, the Kedusha spreads, and it goes now to the rest of the animal. Good. Period. Adkan. That's the Braisa. Okay? And so good, in this discussion of the Braisa, we have two basic positions, the position of Rav Yehuda and the position of Rav Yossi, as we outlined in the beginning of today's daf. Amar Marti Makal Tsarchiolas Vahakamaisa Behema Mukhuseris Aver. Good. Here's the Gemara asking the question now. Such a straightforward question, such a good question. I don't understand. This guy bought an animal. He was on the hook. He pledged to bring a carbon ola. And so what he did is he found a guy who had an animal whose leg was an ola, so he bought it from him. And now after buying the animal, he was makdish the animal. Good. But he only purchased 3/4 of the animal, or five, whatever the percentage is. He only bought most of the animal. There was a small segment of this animal, the leg of the animal, that already was kadosh. So when he sanctified the animal, he didn't satisfy his pledge. His pledge was that he was going to offer an entire animal, and meanwhile, he only brought most of an animal. So, behema mechuseres aver, amarava ba'omer hare alai ola b'chayeha. So the Gemara makes an ukimta. The Gemara makes a suggestion. Well, maybe this person who purchased the animal made the pledge where he said, "Hare alai ola b'chayeha." That was his pledge. So what? So Rashi suggests, "Hare alai." I'm reading Rashi. "Hare alai lahakriv kol ayvarim she habehema chaya mimenu v'hare kein asa." Meaning the case would only work. The only time that he'd be interested in buying an animal that would, in fact, satisfy his pledge, if his pledge is that whatever I can bring as an offering from an animal, I will. Rashi's alluding to a Gemara that we're going to see a little bit later this morning. Okay, we'll just bypass that part of Rashi. Yerushalmi. And then Rashi gives a second pshat, which is the Gemara Yerushalmi. And again, we're just going to, not going to work with the Yerushalmi right now. By the way, I mentioned this a couple of times already. Rashi quotes the Yerushalmi on the Gemara in Temura. Do we have a Gemara Yerushalmi on Temura? We don't. And Rashi apparently did. Okay, in of itself, an interesting discussion. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara's answer is that this person was on the hook for not an entire animal, but of whatever part of the animal I could be makdish. Okay. Amar Rava. No. Okay, I'm sorry. Amar Rav Chista. Mod Rav Yehuda b'davash oseh oseh treifa. Now, basically, we're going to make one point and we're going to say it three different ways. But let me first make the one point, and then we'll say it three different ways. The one point is that Rav Yehuda disagrees fundamentally with Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi has this concept of spreading. Kedusha is spreading. And Rav Yehuda says, no, Kedusha doesn't spread. If I'm makdish a leg, only the leg becomes kadosh and that's it. Good. That's basic machlokus between the two tonight. Now, what the Gemara is going to tell us is that there will be a point where Rav Yehuda will yield to Rav Yossi. Where Rav Yehuda is basically going to say, I give. You're right. When would that point be? When I'm makdish, not just a limb, but a significant limb. How significant? Where basically, if you took it away, the animal would die. Right? Aver shahaneshama tluya bo. If it's a limb that's so significant, where without this limb, the animal's going to die. So at that point in time now, the kedusha is going to spread.
Internal organs are called limb also? Like the heart or
whatever? Yeah. The answer is yes, but it is going to be a little bit strange because usually, I mean, first of all, in terms of animals, when you're makdish, you're usually makdish the entire animal, not like what we're discussing over here. But yes, I guess in a way you could be makdish the heart. Although, yeah.
That's considered a limb or?
I guess. It's a little bit strange. The whole thing's a little bit strange. But I guess that would work. Amar Rav Chista. Okay, so that's the basic point. And the Gemara is going to say it in one of three different ways. Amar Rav Chista, Mod Rav Yehuda b'davash oseh treifa. If it's something that makes the animal a treifa, remember treifa is basically an internal organ being punctured or severed, where the animal now's life expectancy is going to be that it will die, although that's subject to a debate. We'll touch on that debate today in just a moment. That's one way to say it. A second way to say it, Rav Amar b'davash oseh nevela. Second way to say it is that if it's something that makes the animal an avela, right? A broken spinal cord. We talked about this back in Chulin. That'll render the animal immediately an avela. A third way to say it. Rav Sheshet Amar B'davar Shehu Mesa. Rav Sheshet says something that'll cause the animal to die instantaneously. Okay, and now it all sounds very similar, right? Meaning it's one basic point. We're just saying it three different ways. But obviously these Amarayim are, I mean, they're splitting hairs, but there's a reason why they're splitting hairs. Why does each one say it a little bit differently? So my Ika ben Rav Chista LaRava. So let's start off with one positions one and two. What's the difference between them? So Ika ben Treifa Chaya, Rav Chista Sever La Kamanda Amar Treifa Inachaya, V'Rava Sever La Kamanda Amar Treifa Chaya. So what's at issue over here is a machlokas that we saw in Chulin already a number of times, and that is, if something is a trefa, does that necessarily mean the animal will die? Subject to a debate. Meaning there are Tanaim out there, and in this case Amarayim, who are of the opinion that even though an animal could be a trefa, that doesn't mean it's going to die within a year. Okay? Meaning gives us really a whole new definition of what a trefa is. If trefa is not going to die within a year, so what does that mean? Why is it a trefa? Okay. I throw out a question. I don't have a prepared response. But in other words, that's subject to a debate. And the Gemara now is suggesting that's the machlokas between Rav Chista and Rava. Well, my Ika bein Rava l'Rav Sheshes. Now, what's the difference between Rava and Rav Sheshes? Rava says something that makes it an avela. And Rav Sheshes says something that makes it all die. Now, that really is the same thing. Right? If the animal's an avela, it means it's dead. If the animal's dead, it means it's dead. Right? It's the same. As I say it, I'm smiling. It's the same thing. So Ika Beinaiza, the Gemara says, well, there's a difference to Rebbe Lazar. There is a subtle difference, and that is the halach of Rebbe Lazar, Damar Rebbe Lazar, Nitla Yerek, V'chalal Shalom. V'chalal Shalom, we're going to add a word, V'chalal Shalom, Nikar, Nevela. What if you rip out the leg, the thigh, you rip it out where you already see the socket, right? The socket where the thigh was supposed to go into. So, is it immediately a nevela? So Rebbe Lazar says, yes, it is. Rava savala ka Rebbe Lazar. Now Rava agrees to that. And so therefore, when Rava says something that'll make it a nevela, he is alluding to, well, he doesn't say it, but he's alluding to the halach of Rebbe Lazar. And Rav Sheshet lo savala ka Rebbe Lazar. And Rav Sheshet doesn't agree with this. Meaning the animal is not instantaneously dead. I dare say that the animal will die and the animal will die shortly. It's not a prognosis, that's just a good guess. But in other words, the animal's certainly going to be on the way out, but we don't view the animal immediately as an avela. That's the opinion of Rav Sheshet. And so consequently, that means then that's why he didn't want to use the same language of Davisha Oser San Avela. Meisve. Okay. What do we have right now? We have a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi as to whether or not the Kedusha spreads. And we have three Amoraim who are all basically making the same point. If it's a significant limb, and you're matish that significant limb, it's a vital limb, let's call it like that. It's a vital limb, and you're matish it, so then everybody agrees, both Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda will agree. Well, Rav Yossi you know already, but Rav Yehuda will agree to Rav Yossi that the Kedusha will spread. The Gemara is going to challenge this, and the Gemara is going to end up defending. But this is what we're saying up until now is going to be accepted. Meisve Amar Rebbe, Nirin Div Rebbe Yehuda B'Davar She'Eino Hasham Tluya Bo, B'Div Rebbe Yossi B'Davar She'Eino Hasham Tluya Bo. Okay, Rebbe does his usual. I mean, we've seen Rebbe do this a lot. Rebbe does his usual compromise. I think he's right in this case, and I think he's right in this case. But when Rebbe does that, you understand what he's saying. Meaning, what he's basically saying is that these two parties are fundamentally at odds with one another. And I'm going to come to some sort of compromise position, right? I think he's right over here. I'm going to be a moderate. He's right in this case, and he's right in that case. But when Rebbe says something like that, you realize that the two parties are really fundamentally disagreeing with one another. So in this particular case, Rebbe says that if it's a vital limb, I think Rav Yossi's right. It spreads. And if it's not a vital limb, I think Rav Yehuda's right. It doesn't spread. Well, once Rebbe's telling us that, that means that Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda are fundamentally disagreeing, even when it's a vital limb, contrary to what we've been saying up until now. I know that Rav Yehuda disagrees with Rav Yosi. That we all get. And this would be a kasha on Rav Chista, Rava, Rav Sheshes, meaning all the Amoraim who are making that point that if it's a vital limb, there's agreement. This seems to go against that. So the Gemara says, "Lo chesuri mechzer v'hachi katani." So the Gemara says, "Inconclusive," meaning incomplete. You didn't understand the brisa correctly. So the Gemara says, "So let's do that. Let's understand the brisa correctly." Hachi katani. Near in divrei Rav Yosi l'Rav Yehuda b'davish anasham atuluya bo. Shav Rav Yehuda lo nechlek alav ela b'davish ein asham atuluya bo. Ava b'davish anasham atuluya bo modilei. So the Gemara says, when Rebbe was taking that moderate position, he wasn't espousing his own view. No, what he was saying is, it's not that I agree to Rav Yosi, it's that Rav Yehuda agrees to Rav Yosi. If we're talking about the designation, the consecration of a vital limb, so then Rav Yehuda agrees to Rav Yosi that it's going to spread, because without that vital limb, the animal's going to die, so then the Kedusha is going to spread. Period. A couple of small questions, not small, but small meaning in terms of amount of Gemara dedicated to it. A couple of short questions. Let's say short. By Rava, Ba'ov Mahu. This notion of Kedusha spreading from a limb to the rest of the animal, is that going to work by birds? Now, why is that a question? Behema Merchman Avala Behemahu. Because look, the whole source of this halacha of Kedusha spreading comes from a pasuk in Vayikra. It says, "Kol asher yitain mimenu l'Hashem." Contextually, it's talking about animals, not birds. So maybe this halacha of Kedusha spreading is only limited to animals and not to birds. Or no, is it not a behema halacha, but it's a carbon halacha? And of course, birds can be carbonos. Take what the Gemara says to this question. We're going to have to wait. By Rava, Hiktish Aver Ledamav Mahu Detechos Le Kedushas Haguf. Okay, now, the reading of these next couple lines of Gemara are going to be hard because there's a lot of girsa changes over here in this Gemara. Let me first say it outside and then we'll do it inside. Okay? A couple points need to make and just to understand these next couple lines of Gemara. We talked about this in the past, but let's make sure that we're clear about some basics. You can invest an animal with Kedusha Saguf, which means that it has now intrinsic Kedusha, or Kedusha's Damim. Now, we already talked in the past about how if the animal is a non-blemished animal, it's a perfect animal, so you really shouldn't give it only value Kedusha, but really you should give it Kedusha Saguf because, again, it's going to be, if it's fit to be carbon, it should be brought as a carbon and not just value Kedusha. Okay. We also, there's a category in the middle, which we've talked about a couple of times in the past. It doesn't come up that often. And that is where I give it value Kedusha, but I earmark what that money's supposed to go to. Okay? So we'll call this Damim, but it's more than just Damim. It's Damim where I earmark, I designate what the money should go to. So let's say I give something Kedusha, but I say that it's going to be earmarked so that it will be used for a carbon. I'm going to buy a carbon with the proceeds of the sale of this. Okay. Now, what we're going to learn in just a moment is that Rav is of the opinion that if I take an animal and it's not blemished, and I say that I want to give it damim kedusha, value kedusha, but specifically in a scenario where I earmark and I say that the proceeds of the sale will be used to purchase a ola, right, a carbon, what's going to happen to this animal? It immediately will upgrade. It immediately will be invested with Kedusha Saguf. And for a very simple reason. Because what did I do? I just made everything so complicated.
Something with a healthy animal for better goodbye.
Right, it's just going to upgrade. So because what I did is so complicated, meaning I invested in an animal which in itself could be used as a carbon, I say I want to sell it, and then what I want to do is I want to use the proceeds of that sale to buy carbon. You have it right here in the animal. So why did you make things so complicated? So what the Torah essentially says to you is, you know what? what's going to happen is that this animal is just going to receive an immediate upgrade. Okay. I'm not sure. Okay. Meaning the animal will be invested, even though you didn't say this, the animal will be invested with Kedushas HaGuf. It will have intrinsic value. It will be carbon. It will become a carbon, even though you didn't designate it as a carbon. Huh?
It has already, supposedly.
It has only, you've only invested with Kedushas Damim. You only gave it value Kedusha. But because you earmarked the proceeds and you said that the proceeds are going to be used to purchase a carbon, and because this animal can be used as a carbon, so it immediately upgrades. Okay, that's, and that's a concept brought to us by Rava. Okay, now the Gemara wants to know, how about this? I'm just going to spell it outside, and then we'll read it inside. It's just going to be a little bit easier that way, because the reading of the Gemara is going to be a little tricky. What if I do this? What if I go to, not an animal, but just to a leg of an animal, and I say, I'd like to invest this leg of an animal with Kedusha, not Kedusha Saguf, but Kedusha's Damim, value Kedusha, and I earmark what the money is going to be used for, and that, of course, it will be for the purchase of a carbon. Okay. But I didn't do it for the whole animal, I just did it for the leg. So now, we need a two-step. Number one, we need the Kedusha to spread to the rest of the animal. Two, we need it then to go through this upgrade, from going from Damim to Guf. And essentially what the Gemara's question is going to be is, are we going to go for a two-step? Meaning each one of them by itself would work. The idea that Kedusha spreads from the leg to the rest of the animal, that works. Again, of course, only according to Rav Yossi, not according to Rav Yehuda. But let's, for this discussion, follow like Rav Yossi. And then there's another step, which is to give itself an upgrade. Meaning to go from Damim to Guf, which by itself that works as well. But can I combine those two ideas?
Are these Gezerah Drabam?
You see, that's the thing. I'm not 100% sure. No,
I mean, if it's a Gezerah, then you can have a Gezerah out of a Gezerah.
Right. I don't think so. I think all this works on a Da'araisa level. Now, I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I think so. And that's essentially going to be the Gemara's question, and the Gemara's going to answer with a, I'm not sure. Okay, but let's see all this inside. Bai Rava. Hikdash Aver L'damav. I marked a shalim for its value, and again, as I explained in the introduction, I earmarked the value to be used to buy carbon. Mahu detechos le kedusha saguf. Will it receive kedusha saguf? Mi amar, okay, skip a line of Gemara. Mi de act shelechad ever act shelekule. That first, I'm maktish one aver, it goes throughout the entire body. So the Gemara here articulates the question well. Do we say one migo or do we say two migos? Meaning one step, yes. But now two steps. What are the two steps? Again, number one, for the Kedusha to spread. Number two, to upgrade from Kedusha's Damim to Kedusha's Aguf. So the Gemara says, well, doesn't Rava actually say that? That it upgrades? So the Gemara says very simply, Hasam Daktish Alakulai. Yeah, but over there, you or Maktish the entire animal. So all you need now is just one switch, one move, which is basically an upgrade from Damim to Guf. But Hacha, but over here, Daktish Echadever, my. But over here, I only invested a limb with Kedusha. And again, the Kedusha that I invested it with was only Kedusha's Damim. So now I need the two-step. I need, number one, it to spread to the entire animal, and then I need it to upgrade. So Teiku, the Gemara says, I do not know. By me name, Rava. Okay, a whole series, again, of short questions, which the Gemara will leave, I think, almost all of them unanswered. Okay, again, let's assume like... Who are you assuming like? Let's assume like Rav Yehuda for these next series of questions. Okay, I know it's a tricky Gemara, it really is, because we're jumping back and forth between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, and the gears are somewhat of a challenge. Okay, by me name a Rava, hitish chadei v'mahu begiza. Here's the basic question. Look, you know that what's an animal that's invested with kedusha? It's a carbon. You can't work the animal. You can't shear the animal. It's a carbon. Good. What if a makdish a limb? Just one limb. Now again, Rav Yossi says that the kedusha spreads to the entire animal. So the question, we're done. There's nothing to question. But according to Rav Yehuda, who says that the kedusha remains just by that one leg, now the question goes like this. Mahu begiza. Can I shear the animal? Not that one leg, but the rest of the animal. Tishalach mehadetanya lo sagos bechortzonecha avatagoses b'shecha v'shalacherim. Well, remember back in Bechoros, what do we learn? That if you have an animal that is partnered by Jew and non-Jew, so then you can go ahead and shear the entire animal, meaning it doesn't have kedushas bechor. So the Gemara over here would like to strike an analogy. It's a strange analogy, and the Gemara is going to point out how strange it is. But the Gemara wants to make an analogy. Over here, it's like a partnership. You own some of the animal. The Beis HaMikdash owns some of the animal. It's a partnership. And in the world of Bechor, that partnership allows you to shear the entire animal. Over here, so shouldn't you be able to shear the entire animal?
But I think that Beis HaMikdash
doesn't recognize
like any other partner.
Okay. And Hasam lo nachta le kedusha klal, hacha nachta le kedusha. And the Gemara says, how can you compare it? Meaning, it's so funny, I don't even know what the Havamina was. But the Gemara says, how can you compare it? In the world of Bechor, when you have a partner with a non-Jew over an animal, and he gives birth to its firstborn, it doesn't have Kedusha at all. Right? In fact, we just talked about this the other day. That's how you create the loophole of not having a Bechor, by having a non-Jew own part of the animal. So, of course you can shear the animal because it doesn't have Kedusha at all. But when I take a limb and I invest it with Kedusha, and now you want to say, oh, I'm partners with the Beis HaMikdash, what are you talking about? The Beis HaMikdash owns a leg, and you own the rest of the animal. And that's not going to divest it now of any type of Kedusha. That's not going to allow you to shear the animal, at least certainly not the leg. Lishna Achrina, the Gemara now is going to make the same point, and just with a slightly different version. Hasamein biyad al hakdisho, hacha biyad al hakdisho. Right there, in the case of the Bechor, it's ain biyad al hakdisha. You can't be makdish it because it doesn't have kedusha. Here, you could be makdish the remainder of the animal. Here we do this again. Hikdish ora maho. Okay, again, we're talking about being makdish part of the animal. Which part of the animal am I going to be makdish? So it's hide. I'm makdish the hide of the animal. So mao bavo, can I work the animal? Now again, if I'm makdish the whole animal, obviously I can't work it. But here I'm just being makdish the hide. The assumption in the question is, well, working is not going to really affect the hide. Okay. Tashma haomer mashabe. I'm sorry. Haomer mashabe mea shalzu ola muteres begiza v'aster b'avodah mimne kichush ubar shaba. We quoted this a couple of days ago, and. If I'm makdish, just yesterday, if I'm makdish a fetus inside of an animal, what's the status? I can shear the mother, I cannot work the mother. Shearing, you understand, because when you shear the mother, you're not affecting the baby at all, the fetus inside at all. Working, however, you're going to be diminishing the size, weight, and value of the fetus inside, and the fetus inside is a carbon, therefore you can't do that. Amar lei, and what was Gemara trying to draw from that? That here in this case, where I was makdish the hide, same story. If I'm diminishing the value of the animal, so therefore, and I'm diminishing the value of the hide, I can't work it. Amar lei kiketan asur b'avodim midrabanan. So the Gemara says, well, the case of Ubar, the prohibition of working the animal is only a rabbinic prohibition. So the Gemara says, well, if it's a rabbinic prohibition, why did the rabbis extend the prohibition to shearing? So Amalei, avod the mechshe gazre be rabbanan, giza lo gazre be rabbanan. But the Gemara says, but that's easy. That's an easy question. Meaning, because shearing doesn't affect the fetus at all. Working does affect the fetus, so therefore, the rabbis prohibited you not to work the mother because of the fetus inside. Okay. And then, again, the Gemara just kind of awkwardly drops the question, meaning we move on. The Gemara here doesn't even say teku. Okay. And we move on. Ba'i minei a couple more of these, and then we're gonna, you know, and then we'll start the new sugya. Bamine abayme Rav Yosef, he shlamim uvlada chulin v'shachta b'fnei mahu. Okay, now we go back to the beginning of our whole discussion from yesterday, and we go back to the Rav Yochanan Bar Pada debate. Remember, Rav Yochanan says the fetus can be treated independent of the mother, right? And that's how that's the halacha. How about the following? The mom is a shlamim, and the fetus inside is chulin. Okay, which would mean, I think, okay, I'm not sure, but I think what that means is that when you were makdish the animal, you knew it was pregnant, and what you did is that you were makdish only the mother to the exclusion of the fetus. In fact, the Gemara said just yesterday that according to Rav Yochanan, Mishuyar Mishayar, you could do that. You can be makdish one to the exclusion of the other. So that's what you did over here. And then, shechta bifnim. Now, mom is a shlamim. Mom can only be shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash. But the fetus is not a shlamim. So, did you violate chulin ba'azara? Mahu. What would be the halacha over there? Did you violate chulin ba'azara? Now, you should say to me, well, what are your options? Well, what choice do you have? I guess what you could do is you could wait until it gives birth and then shecht it. I guess that could be an option. Maybe. Now, Ulamanda Amar, now before the Gemara even answers this question, the Gemara is going to ask a very similar or related question. Vlade kashan behav yasan hein kedoshin. We also have another debate, meaning let's not even talk about Bar Pardon and Rav Yochanan. Let's just discuss an animal which is a carbon that gets pregnant. Okay. When will that fetus comes into this world, the fetus is a Vlad carbon. Okay, and what's the story with that fetus? It's imbued with Kedusha, same as mom. Okay. When does that fetus get that Kedusha? In utero or at birth? Answer, machlokas. Okay? We touched on the machlokas yesterday. We'll see more of that machlokas later on. Debate. So one opinion is behev yasan, which means when it comes into being, meaning when it's born. So now, same question. I have a carbon that's pregnant. Not that Rav Yochanan was not just the mother to exclusion of the fetus, just a simple carbon that becomes pregnant. Fetus now is developing inside. One opinion is it's not imbued with Kedusha until it emerges. And now I take this carbon and I shecht it in the Beis HaMikdash. Same question. Chul and Ba'azara, yes or no?
If you maintain that you were emo.
Yes, right? Yes.
So why don't we just... It should be infused with Kedusha like the leg of...
Good, so I understand that. But right now we're asking a question along the person who holds that it's not an extension. Okay. So, mi havi chul and Ba'azara, olo. Amar lei. We're now on the top of the Beis Amad Aleph. And in response I say... Right? You are going to be far away from the place in order to shecht. Meaning, the Torah tells us that when you have chulin, you can't shecht chulin in the Beis HaMikdash. That's not appropriate. You got to go far away. Parshas Re'eh. You got to go far away. Over here, how can you? The chulin fetus is inside the mother. So, you don't have an option of distancing it from the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore you're fine. Okay. Again, the Gemara, it's so funny, the Gemara doesn't even articulate it so well, the Gemara just simply quotes a pasuk. Okay. Bai minei abai mei Rav Yosef, hi chulin uvlada shlamim v'shachta b'chutz mahu. Okay, finally, last question of these series of questions. How about mom is a chulin animal and the baby is a carbon? What? How did that happen? So here, we're going to have to go back to Rav Yochanan, because the only way this is going to work is according to Rav Yochanan, where, again, the fetus, according to Rav Yochanan, is an independent entity. Okay? So mom is chulin, and baby is, and not baby, fetus is a carbon, and I shechted it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Did I violate shchut echutz? So that's the Gemara's question. Ma'o mi mechayv ala mishum shchut echutz alo? Amar lei mikarina bei, v'yivum la'ashem, and the answer is no. Because in order for you to violate Shkut Echutz, we talked about this in the past many times, it has to be something that I could have been that I could have brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Right now, fetus in utero, later I could bring it to the Beis HaMikdash after it's born, but right now, currently, I can't. So therefore, when I shechted it outside, I didn't violate Shkut Echutz. Lishna Achrina, let's just say it a little bit differently. Amalei Rayu LePesach Ol HaMoed Chayavin La Bechutz. Only if it's fit for the entrance of Ol HaMoed, only for such an animal, if I shech that animal outside, did I violate Shchut Echutz? But this animal, fetus in utero, I didn't violate Shchut Echutz. Okay, that was a mouthful. Okay, I'm sorry. The last, I'm going to say now, I'm looking at my guy, I'm going to say the last 30 minutes, tough. It was tough Gemara. Tough Gemara because you had to figure out if we're following Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, we were following Rav Yochan versus Bar Pada. Questions, the Gemara dealt with a lot of abstract theoretical questions. The Gemara gave no answers to any of those questions. Okay, tough bit of Gemara, admittedly. Okay, we start now the next Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah over here, so Aaron took a little two-week leave, he would have loved this, but basically over here we will deal with derivatives. And that's essentially what this Mishnah is. Such an interesting Mishnah coming up, conceptually wonderful Mishnah, and talks about the concept of derivatives. And essentially, the idea that's going to express itself in many different halachas is going to be that whenever I take a derivative off of something else, it can be no greater than its source. It could be no more powerful, no more potent than that which it came from. Now, I say it in a very abstract way, and perhaps you don't understand what I'm saying right now, but as we go through all the cases of the Mishnah, you will see this hopefully very clearly. Eina meduma medame elo lefi cheshbon. Example number one. A mixture of chulin and truma. The mixture of chulin and truma becomes, I want to say the word is prohibited, but prohibited is not really the best word. It becomes truma, right? But not to confuse people, though, we're going to give it a new name. We're not going to call it truma anymore. What are we going to call it? We're going to call it Dimua. Dalid Mem Ayin. Okay, word is found in Chumash? I don't think so. I think the word is exclusively used in Mishnayos. And basically that means that now I have this mixture, and because there's no bittul, because there's no nullification, so it's going to basically be treated like truma, only to be eaten by Kohanim. Only to be eaten by Kohanim. What kind of ratio do I need in order for there to be bittul, a truma and chulin? 1 to 100, right? Respectively. Meaning 1 part truma, 100 parts chulin. Then and only then is there going to be nullification. Prior to that, there's no bittul, there's no nullification. So now, I'm going to use the example the Gemara is going to use later on, so just that we can repeat. So let's say I get a mixture of 1 to 24. 1 part truma to 24 parts chulin. What becomes of this mixture now of 25? Right? It's truma, but let's not call it truma because I don't want to confuse people. So what is it? It's dimua. Okay? And now what can I do with it? I'm not a Kohen. I can't do anything with it. I got to now give it to a Kohen. I'll sell it to him, right? But he really has the upper hand on this transaction because he'll say to me, look, for you, it's worth nothing because you can't eat it. I'll buy it for you on the cheap. Okay. Anyway, this is what's called Nimua. But right now, the Mishnah over here deals with the following scenario. Let's say now part of that mixture breaks off and falls into another mixture of chulin. Now what? Okay? Okay. So essentially what the Mishnah is telling us is I operate with ratios. And whatever the ratio was, in the example that I just gave, the ratio is 1 to 24, I will assume that whatever broke off is going to be a representative sample of the original mixture. And so therefore now what comes off now is only 1 part truma, 24 parts chulin. It maintains that ratio. So now when it comes in, it only needs to go into how much chulin in order for now to become mutter? The correct number would be? 70, Rashi later on will say 77. So but we're in the same,
So
we're in the same ballpark.
If that happens, I mean, you can always, when it's 124, you can always add chulin to make it
1-1. Ain mevatel iser lechatchila. You can't be mevatel iser. So you're right. In theory, it would work, but the rule is that you cannot be mevatel iser. Is that daraisa? Is that derabbanan? Some machlok is arrived. It says daraisa. Okay. This is only going to be after the fact. But the point is that the mixture itself, I don't look at the entire mixture as truma, I look at it as a mixture. And therefore, if some of it breaks off and comes into something else, I deal with it with its ratio. Another example of basically this exact phenomena. If I have a leavening agent, right, chimutz, and here, I know what you think we're talking about Pesach, and we could be talking about Pesach, but we're not. We're talking about, again, truma. And I have a leavening agent that's made up of truma, and it goes into dough, and it causes the dough to rise, so then that dough is going to become prohibited, right, because the leavening agent act on it. What if I had some of that break off and then go into another mixture? Again, I look at it from its original ratio. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this another way. Lefi cheshbon beina mechumetz chametz lefi cheshbon beina mayim shoavim psulim etz hamikvah ela lefi cheshbon. Same thing with mayim sheuvim, drawn water, water that comes in a bucket and goes into a mikvah, passels the mikvah. I'll talk more about this tomorrow in terms of the passeling of the mikvah. Okay, I'll give all the mikvah halachas we'll do tomorrow. But in the meantime, however, if I have this mikvah, which is a mixture of collected rainwater and mayim she'uvim, and then from that now goes into another mikvah, again, I maintain the original ratio. Okay? We'll do this again, another way. Ein mechatas osin mechatas ela imatan efer. Chatas, mechatas, the water for your para aduma sprinkling. Okay, the mechatas needs to be mixed in with af efer chatas, with the ashes of the chatas. And the order has to specifically be first water, then ashes. It cannot be ashes, then water. First water, then ashes. And the ashes are going to flow on top, and then you mix it. And ve'ena besa pras, osa besa pras, and one besa pras cannot create another besa pras. Okay, you know what, stay tuned till tomorrow. I'll talk about this in more detail. We'll understand it better tomorrow. I'll explain tomorrow. Ein truma achar truma ve'ein tmura. I'm sorry. Ve'ein truma achar truma. There's no truma after truma. Ve'ein tmura osa tmura. And why are we learning all this right now? Because tmura fits in beautifully. A tmura cannot create a tmura. Meaning you cannot have one derivative creating another derivative. Ve'ein avlad osa tmura. Now you can't have a fetus create a tmura. And now in the context of our whole Mishnah, you understand it perfectly. Because what's a fetus? A derivative. So the fetus can't create a tamura. Because the fetus already itself, I say fetus by the way, I don't really mean fetus. I mean offspring. Meaning if I have a carbon that becomes pregnant, and now it delivers. So now this offspring is a carbon. But only because it derived from the mother, it can't create a tamura. Because it's a derivative. And a derivative can't make a derivative. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Avlado said Tamura. Now Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, right? We touched Rabbi Yehuda's position a couple days ago. He says that Avlad can create a Tamura. Amar lo, Hektish osa Tamura vein Avlado osa Tamura. And the Chacham's response to Rabbi Yehuda is, you're wrong. Okay, how does that give and take work in the Mishnah? Doesn't sound like much svar is going on. Okay. In the meantime, however, I just want to cover the first... Meaning the fetus, I can exchange the kedusha from a fetus to another animal to affect tamura. And again, the chachamim disagree with Rav Yehuda. Man tana amar b'chia baraba amar Rav Yochanan de lo k'rav Elazar d'itnan. Now, who argues on our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer? Sashal truma shenafel apachos mimei achulim v'nid me'u. I have one truma gets mixed in with less than 100 chulin, so therefore it results in dimua. V'nafel min hameduma l'makam acher. And now it goes, and from that mixture into another mixture. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Medame Ketruma Vadai. Rabbi Lazar says, whatever fell in, we treat like Vadai Truma. Is that our Mishnah? No, it's not. So the Gemara observes that Rabbi Elazar does not follow like our Mishnah. Skip parentheses. V'chachamim omrim ein medamas ela lefi cheshbon shaba. You operate with ratios. Here Rashi goes through the numbers that I went back through in the Mishnah. See Rashi as I already described it above. Let's do one more discussion today, and then we finish. Ena mechumetz mechametz am Rabbi Abba am Rabbi Yochanan Masisim deloke Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, our mission is not following like Rabbi Eliezer. Did not. So shachum v'shalchuma shenafel esocha isa v'lo bezeked elahachmitz v'lo bezeked elahachmitz v'nitzarfu v'chimtzu Rabbi Lazar Omer acharon ani ba. Sounds familiar? It should. Psachim, second perek, right? I have two leavening agents fall in. Neither one of them by itself has enough leavening power. The two combined can actually create chimutz, creates the rising. So Rabbi Eliezer says, now the words of the Braisa are, acharon aniba, I follow the last one that falls in. Rashi says, don't get deceived. That's not what he means. What he means is, zev zev gorim aser, that if I have two causatives, one is prohibited and one is permitted, the result is iser. The chachamim omrim kevin shenafal iser lechatchila ubein shenafal iser besof olam in iser ad shehebo kedei lahachmis. And the chachamim disagree, and the chachamim say no, that the only way the resulting dough becomes prohibited is only if enough prohibited yeast, if prohibited leavening agent falls in, enough of it so that it creates iser, then and only then is the dough going to become aser. But the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim hold Zev Zegoreim is mutter, not aser. And once again, that's our Mishnah as well. And once again, our Mishnah does not follow like Rabbi Eliezer. So right now, Rabbi Eliezer is working with an 0-2 count in terms of our Mishnah. Okay, Ad Kan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with Mikvah talk tomorrow. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash Amar Ratzakash Baruch Hu Zach Tzol Ficha Achir Bem Tor Mitzvah Shenem Arnei Chafetz Amantziko Yagdil Torav Yadir.